Welcome to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast, where we try to showcase individual perspectives of recent graduates about different pathways of life. I'm Arjit Singh.
And I'm Hemant Shpatia.
And together, we will try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career.
We have with us today a guy that some of you probably wanted to be after watching movies like Wall Street, Big Short, Trading Places. I mean, I personally did. So, let's start the show.
Today's guest is someone who has gotten into something he has wanted to do since early years of high school. Those that stand on his resume at this time are some of the biggest names, including Morgan Stanley, UBS, and AXA. He's a financial advisor who is passionate about many facets of his job. Another thing where he's known to go crazy about is the Cleveland Browns. We're very excited to also speak to him about that, his semester at sea, and other escapades. Let's welcome Will Toll.
How you guys doing?
We're great.
Will. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to be here.
Welcome to
Thanks
the podcast.
Thanks for joining in today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Okay, so as Arjit mentioned, you wanted to be a financial advisor since early high school, right?
Yes.
What drove you to be in finance? And was there something else you wanted to do before that?
Yeah, so I always knew I wanted to be in business just because of my dad. But in eighth grade, we had a financial class. I forget the exact name of it. It was taught by one of my coaches, one of my basketball coaches. And I had a good relationship with him. I really loved him. And I just loved the environment that he presented in this classroom. It was a unique kind of style how he taught it. He wasn't like the ordinary, like strict kind of teacher, do your work. He got really involved in this. And since it was such a different subject, it was really cool. And it was also most of the upper grade students were in this class. So I was like, there's only like two freshmen or two eighth graders with me. So we kind of all leaned in together and it was cool to meet some of the older guys. And I definitely learned a lot just starting out there. So that's kind of where I first knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, since he was your basketball coach and you've, of course, been into that a whole lot too, and you've been involved in sports and stuff, how did that kind of correlation work out in class? And did y'all, you know, talk about that? And was that a factor when he was trying to make you comfortable with the business side of things, or how did that work?
Yeah, I mean, so him as a basketball coach, he was just a very, you know, he was also the football coach as well. So he was very passionate and, you know, he was up in your face a lot, but, you know, I definitely had a special relationship just because I knew kind of his more vulnerable side as being a coach. And, you know, as your coach and player, you kind of can connect pretty well with each other. So I automatically had a good relationship with him in the classroom. So I was able to, you know, connect with him on a better level, understand maybe, you know, when I wanted more help in the class, you know, he would present it to me in a different way. So I kind of, while he was like such a different, unique teacher, I think I was able to understand it pretty well. And the way he taught it really excited me about how he, you know, he was very passionate about it because I could just tell more about how he, you know, his style and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
So how does that teamwork that maybe you learned during sports or maybe other, you know, the student councils that you've had, the clubs that you've joined, how did that correlate to, you know, the financial career that you have right now? Is it the Wolf of Wall Street kind of thing that you're the only one alone, or is it more, yeah, we support everyone and, you know, it's a team?
Yeah, it's exactly. So I'm on a team right now and the team environment has been great. They're, I'm a new guy coming in. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can, but the people I'm working for, they're really taking care of me and really helping me, you know, guide me, because it is such a competitive thing. And, you know, being just out of college, 23 years old, you know, who's going to give me their money to advise? It's a tough ask, especially with being in wealth management. It's, you know, you're asking for a lot of money. So they really guide me. They really take care of me. They take me under their wing. They try to teach me everything. They, you know, help me when I'm trying to, you know, prospect my clients. And one of the things I really, you know, off the team building from sports, this job is also so catered to relationships. And I think that with being in the team and being an environment of where you have to work together, you have to understand different individuals that come from different places, and, you know, you're still competing with them, but you're also trying to, you know, form a brotherhood on the team and on the court. So just that's just another one way I think, you know, with this job, it's so catered to being good at relationships and connecting with people that definitely sports has helped me with.
You know, I've always been a sports person myself, or at least I consider myself to be one. So, you know, and I used to play some of the individual sports too, but of course there was still always that relationship with the coach, even if he was standing in the back, just, you know, not even guiding me at every, let's say, point or anything like that. But it was still some of that relationship that we had built before the game, knowing that, you know, I was going to go into something and I would have to use some of those strategies that were being taught.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, something that comes to mind from that is a mentor-mentee kind of relationship, right? So in a big company or in a company that you are in right now and in the ones that you've interned before, what kind of a mentor-mentee relationship did you have? Was there people that were supporting you through that the entire time? Do you also have a mentor outside of, you know, the workplace? And how do you find those?
Yeah, so I think, you know, my first internship started at Morgan Stanley, and I have, you know, probably my mentor still today is this guy named Patrick Kelly. He, one of the best people I know, and he's really taken me under my wing. When I first started out as an intern, and I actually went up to him. I met him when I was still in high school, my junior year in high school. And, you know, he first kind of showed me what he did on a daily day. I did just shadow before I did the full internship. So I've been able to be really close with him. And he has definitely, you know, helped me through my job process when I was looking for jobs. When I, you know, was deciding to two different firms, he was the one, you know, I really leaned on to get his advice on what I think, you know, was the best idea for me as a person. And since he knows me so well, since, you know, he went to Arkansas, so he's still in the SEC like us in Auburn. So we were able to talk a lot about football. So we just had a very unique kind of strong bond with how we were very in common in so many different ways. And then when I was in UBS, the team was at UBS was one of the top 100 teams. So it was super competitive and those guys were great. And I have a few different times mentors, but that was also, I was in with a group of, you know, four different other interns the same age as me. And I was lucky enough since it was such a, you know, stressful kind of environment because there's so much going on. It was such a big firm and such a big team. There's, you know, a lot of money to be, you know, managed and everything. But us as a group were able to really kind of form together and be really close as interns together. And I think it was pretty unique in that way. So even though, you know, they're kind of on the same path as me, I still like to think of them as mentors and people I can lean on. And I guess for my job now, our head guy, his name's Ted. He is, you know, one of the nicest people I've met. You know, I moved down to Houston from Philadelphia, didn't know anybody down here. And he kind of, you know, took me in and was, you know, oh, I'm going to take care of you. I'll show you this. I'll show you that. I'll show you around the city. Cause he's also from the Northeast where I grew up in Philadelphia. He's from New York. So we already had, you know, kind of the Northeast vibe coming down to the Southern town.
Bumping a couple beers once in a while.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we were able to, you know, connect on something different, but he's also the way he kind of goes about the job. He's very into the relationship oriented part of it, which is one of the reasons why I really, you know, fell in love with this thing. He has guided, you know, me on how he's kind of made his practice and how he's, you know, been able to survive it. I mean, he's extremely smart too. You know, he went to Harvard, so he's been a fun guy, and I'm very lucky to have, you know, all those mentors in my life.
Okay, so you've talked about like working at a big company or, you know, multiple big companies. What's the favorite thing about the work culture that you get from working at a big company? Because personally, I've only worked, you know, at small startup companies, and I'm an engineer. Yeah. So those are considered good, viable options for your career. Is working at a smaller company even viable in the finance industry for someone? Or should you aim for that big company only?
I think, you know, definitely when you're interning, I think being at a big firm definitely helps just to put that on your resume. And at a bigger firm, you just have so much more access to so many more things. You have, you know, so many people coming to you to pitch their products. And especially when you're starting out and, you know, you don't have much going for you other than, you know, what the company you work with. So, and also like just their training regimen is super, it's very, very strict, and it's great. Like, it's, they take you through everything, and they really prepare you for, you know, how to do this right. So that's what I really, really appreciate. And while I think it can definitely work at smaller firms, just because I think there's also uniqueness to being in a smaller firm with the fact that you can definitely maybe connect with your elders more, because it's just you in a small building all the time. When I'm at a big firm, there's so much going on. People are traveling left and right, going all around the country. So I think it definitely can work in a small firm, but I do think there's definitely a lot of upsides to being in a big firm, just because I do believe they have a ton more accessibility, especially for this industry, where, you know, a lot of people, they don't know the smaller firms. So when you come in and ask them for, you know, their money, and they want you to build the trust with them, it does help the fact that, you know, you have the name of a Morgan Stanley, UBS, that, you know, have had much success in the past. So, yeah.
You know, I would think that at least being in a bigger company, yes, it of course gives you all that experience and all that name for the resume, definitely, right? But how easy do you think it is to grow up in the ladder in the field that you're in, right? So do you think that would be a little bit easier if you were in, let's say, a smaller firm?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely more kind of competitive, because there's just more people in a bigger firm. Our team individual will have like four, you know, people my age, but we also are going up against, you know, 30 different teams just in our own office. So there's just a different competitive nature that, but I think that can also help, you know, because if you feed off competitive, this job is all based on you. It's all your own performance. You know, it's a commission based, you know, job for most of the part. So you can really go as high as you want and, or, you know, stop wherever you want. That's why, you know, it's a very unique job that it's basically all on you. But I do also think that, like, in the future, I would love to almost start my own firm. I think once I build, if I'm lucky enough to build a, you know, solid book where I don't need, you know, the big firm, and I have my own clients that, you know, I'm with and I trust, and they trust me, I would love to, you know, go eventually and hopefully start my own firm at a smaller place, go wherever I want, and build from there.
Looking forward to seeing you there, man.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Yes, sir.
So, in financial, you know, a profession, what do you believe are some of the general misconceptions, you know, that maybe you realize just after joining, maybe, you know, before that as well? So, and what are the aspects that you really love about this job that maybe you can also, you know, take those to your own company when you do start one?
Yeah. So I think by far, you know, you talked about the Wolf of Wall Street and everything. You know, it does, you know, has some of the, you know, glorious, because it is a very profitable, you know, job to be into. But the reason I definitely got into it is definitely the relationship base. That's something that I've been passionate about since I was young. My dad has instilled that to me, that, you know, relationships will, you know, make you or break you. They're extremely important, you know, from family to friends. If anybody, you know, impacts your life in a positive way, you should be kind to them and, you know, try to keep that relationship going as much as you can. I try to call whenever I'm just driving in the car, I'll call my friends from back home as much as I can. And also, like, when I did my internship in Morgan Stanley, I had, you know, the first meeting I got to sit in on was with a recently widowed woman. And she basically came in, you know, all upset, super crying. She had no clue her financial stance. But basically the advisor was able to sit her down and practically tell her, you know, your husband took care of you, I'm going to take care of you. And, you know, it was just an amazing bond to see that relationship and see how, you know, this job, definitely you can impact people's lives and you can build some incredible relationships doing that.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely, of course, very nice of that man to do that. And, you know, I'm sure you will be in that place sometime too. And I'm sure you'll do well in that situation as well, you know. You were really supportive to me in the past, and I think you're going to do that for a lot more people too. So, I mean, thank you again for that.
Oh, of course, man. It was my pleasure. I got the best of it, and I had a nice little workout buddy, so it's fun.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's fun.
Man. Hopefully, we'll get to do that again, right?
So, yeah, well, we owe Brainer to that one.
right. So, for sure.
You know, you're talking about building those relationships, building that trust. And someone that, you know, I do follow on social media is Gary Vaynerchuk. He talks about, like, we are at that age that we can grind and we can work and we can save, like, at the extreme end, because right now the priority shouldn't be earning. It should be getting those relationships and saving, obviously, for your future. So you can take one step back and go two steps forward. That's basically Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
Yeah.
But on the other side, there's also a guy, I'm sure you must have heard his name, Jordan Peterson. He says, like, okay, yeah, he's financially successful, but what did he really pay for his wealth?
Yep.
See? Yeah, so in that term, like, again, these are two different people with different philosophies, but both are really influential. You know, someone at our age, we are influenced by people at their positions. Right now, where do you think you fall? Because you obviously believe in that relationship and trust, but like on the spectrum of, saving to the extreme end or actually living in the present, where are you? And
I'll say that in that place, I think it's a different, I really love Gary Vee because, you know, I think I am kind of, but I'm also, I think I'm in between. I think I'm not, you know, on the complete side of saving, but I do think that, you know, one thing about Gary Vee, he always talks about passion and he always, you know, tries to lean in that, do what you're passionate for. You know, that's passion is the strongest thing you can, you know, really have that we have inside us, because passion will drive you to do pretty incredible things, and whatever you're working for, make sure you're passionate about it. So I think in that aspect that I think Gary Vee, you know, I like the part where he says saves, but I also do think you need to live in the moment, that, you know, there's so many different opportunities that if you don't, you know, if you miss them and, you know, you don't take full advantage of it, you'll regret it. And I think regret is a very scary thing and something that nobody wants to live with. So I do believe that, you know, in the middle, why, you know, saving is important and you want to save, you know, you need to have strict goals. But I think in between those goals, you need to live a little bit and make sure you take care of yourself and go out and enjoy the world, because this world is, you know, pretty special in some aspects, and you can make things, especially with the relationships you build. But I do believe also that it's not necessarily, you know, where you are, but it's definitely who you're with. That's one thing I feel strongly about.
Yeah. And you know, I've heard this one before too. And I think we've mentioned this in another episode as well, but it's like, you know, a lot of times it's what people say. It's like, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and that's maybe contradictory to an extent, to where, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, if I'm a really hard worker and I'm really an introvert and I don't really know how to get to, you know, talk to people that much and stuff, how do I get to that level? But again, you know, sometimes it's about the opportunities that you get in the moment and you just have to take them. You know, you have to step out of that comfort zone and make that leap. So, you know, another thing that you mentioned that really interests me was about basically going out and seeing the world and seeing what everybody and every country and every, you know, maybe just part of the world is doing, right? So I know that you've traveled to a few different places. How do you allocate everything, right? So time, money, all that, you know, spending, like you said, some of that time doing things that you'd really, really enjoy. You know, how do you allocate your money doing all that? And where do you like put your time with the balance of things?
So, I mean, to me, traveling has been, you know, the best part of anything I've been able to experience. I think traveling is something that everybody needs to experience, just because, you know, going out and seeing the world, you know, it's such a diverse world that there's so many different perspectives on life. Through religion, through just how people act, what they eat. You know, I've been lucky enough to go to pretty amazing countries from, you know, Japan, India, you know, Myanmar, you know, South America, Morocco, China. It's been pretty incredible. And just inside the United States, like, you know, you were here, Arjit, when, you know, you went down to Alabama, which is definitely so different from the Northeast. And then you got to LA, which I've also lived in. It's all just all about perspective. So I think where traveling comes from, and with the money side of it, I do think it's something that everybody should be able to experience, but it is, you know, quite expensive. I was lucky enough to get, you know, scholarships and stuff like that. That's definitely been able to help me. But I do think that, you know, if you have the opportunity to travel and, you know, go see the world and go to some unique places, you know, it's something that everybody should experience and everybody, you know, I think it's been the most educational thing I've been able ever had in my life. So I've been very grateful for that.
So does this traveling actually, you know, shape you as a better consultant, as a advisor? And also, as you say, scholarships, you've done a semester at sea, right? And
yes.
What did that entail? How did that change you? And how did the opportunity even come about for that?
Yeah. So I always knew I wanted to do a study abroad program. My parents have, tried to, get me to travel. Because when I was younger, my dad traveled a ton for work. I never wanted to travel. I was always, homebody. I loved my friends from high school. I was just, all I wanted to do was go outside and play basketball with them. So I regret that completely. But so I knew my parents like practically made me do a semester abroad. So I went in the spring of my sophomore year. But I didn't want to miss football season, of course. So I went the spring of my sophomore year, which was, I was pretty young to go. Most people go their spring of junior year. So I just went to the Auburn study abroad fair, and I saw this, big boat that looked like a cruise ship. I was like, oh, wow, what is this? I walked up, they told me to lay down. It's like, yeah, you get to live on a boat with 600 other college kids and just travel the world for 3 months out of the year. I was like, sign me up.
Spring break.
Yeah, I'm in. So it was the most amazing. I thought, definitely I had one view of it and I had no clue what I was going through. I didn't know anybody that was going to be on the boat, didn't know anybody. But I ended up meeting some of my best relationships, some of my best friendships. We left from San Diego. We stopped in Hawaii, went to Japan, China, Vietnam, Myanmar, India, Mauritius, South Africa, Morocco, in Germany. I'm probably missing some other places in there. So you got such a unique kind of view of the world going from, Southeast Asia, seeing those, going to, third world countries and you're super immersed into this culture and you're on the ship with we represented all 50 states in the United States and 37 different countries. So when you're living on the ship, you're still getting immersed in culture. And how it shaped me, I think it's definitely completely changed my view on the whole world. Way I am able to understand people, I think is completely better because I've heard so many different people's views politically, just socially, how they view the world and how they what they want to accomplish and exactly how they grew up and how that is so different compared to how I grew up that I understand how our views are different and that's completely been able to shape mine. And just on how it's helped me for work, it's been probably the best thing I've could have done for work just because I'm able to connect with my clients, most unique clients. I've been, oh, wow, you went to Vietnam. And I was like, oh, I've been there too. So it just be able to connect, there's unique connections I can find with different clients in that perspective. Just being able to, because I and also just knowing more people, that's, the biggest industry is just knowing as many people as you can, just to reach out to them, ask them who they know, and you can just keep building people you can call and hopefully you land a client that way. That was by far the best experience I've ever been able to have.
Definitely, man. And it's incredible being able to, form those connections and keep them going. I think that's one of the most important things is to do, yes, of course, find those people, but then of course take them along through, different parts of life and see, of course what value one adds, but what value you can add to their life as well. And to others that, you gain from one and push it to another. So I'm glad that you're doing that with your clients as well. And that's sounds like something that makes you, a good financial advisor. So that's great that you're doing that.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So, well, talking about, some of those things about personal life, right? And looking at what we see on TV or in movies, So what's the difference you would say between the real life and the real life? Between, being the Wolf of Wall Street and getting into all that versus actually finding that work-life balance within the job that you are doing right now?
Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street, it's everybody's favorite movie. It's a great movie. It's super fun. It's super intense. But my work life is nothing like that. It's not anything, like that. Sometimes I wish it could be, but there's luckily at my firm, there's no corrupt people. So it's, But they do have like that same kind of, you know, work environment, not the work environment, but it's where it's like super social and it is super competitive. So, you know, you're always on your toes to try to get it, especially starting out right now. You know, I'm trying to build my book. I'm trying to meet as many people as I am. So I'm constantly working. Even when I'm not working, I'm trying to work. So even when I'm out to dinner, if I can find somebody, someone's wearing an Auburn shirt, or someone's wearing, you know, any Cleveland gear, you know, I'm trying to make those small connections where you can meet, you know, just anybody anywhere. Cause you can never know where you can find a client. We have one person on our team that he built his whole book by playing intramural basketball. So he, you know, that's someone hopefully when all this stops, COVID stops, I'll hopefully be able to get on a, you know, intramural basketball team and try to emulate that in any way I can. Cause you know, I love playing basketball. And so hopefully, yeah, I can get kind of lucky like him, but, yeah. Yeah, in that aspect, you know, how it's not Wolf of Wall Street is, especially now, it's definitely changed a lot. But I still think it has that kind of fun environment around it.
Yeah, cool. I have been working from home for the past 6 months now. So, you know, it just feels weird to say that out loud. You told us that you just started going back to the office. How was that period when you were working from home? And now that you're back at the office, how has that relationship with the other people, you know, other employees at the job been, and the competition that you guys have, like, how has that changed over the past year?
Yeah. Hitting those numbers.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was super kind of complicated because I just moved down here to Houston. I was in the office for, you know, a week and a half. And then, everybody get locked up in your apartment. So I didn't know anybody down here. So it was definitely tough. I found a shelter and I started fostering dogs just to keep me company, try to keep me sane any way I could do. But working from home, I didn't even have a desk. I was for the first month and a half, because hopefully I was, you know, every month I was hoping maybe we'll go back to the office this month, because we kept getting pushed back every month. So I didn't want to buy a desk. I was just like, I didn't even have a kitchen table. I was just working from my couch. And after, you know, a month and a half of that, my back was killing me. So I was, you know, struggling with that. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to go on the Facebook marketplace and look for a desk just for me. So I was lucky to find a good deal with that. So, you know, we were just doing Zoom calls, phone calls, basically kind of how it was. It definitely stalled because I was in training during most of it. I was in testing period. And stuff like that. So it definitely slowed down the training where you can't be around other people doing the job you're hopefully wanting to get to do. So that was kind of tough. And you know, you can definitely just get in your own head being, you know, seeing the same thing, doing the same thing. You know, you're not being able to physically see people, you know, that's gotta be tough. It's definitely was tough. So you can definitely lose some motivation, but I think our team was able to constantly talk to each other, constantly work with each other. And that's how, you know, we were able to keep each other motivated. We did, you know, just fun group activities. We would do like Friday Zoom calls where we did charades on Zoom. Nice. So we were just trying to keep it anyway, you know, fun and entertaining for us. And still, you know, since we had some new people coming in like me, we're still trying to build that team camaraderie and trying to make sure that we were all on the same page, that we all knew we had each other's backs. Now we're starting to go back in the office. We're not like full time in the office, but it's just nice, you know, you're wearing your mask and still trying to social distance. We have like staggered periods where not our whole building is in at the same time. You can only stay on your one floor. So you can't like really go up to any floors or anything like that. So it's definitely different. It's unique, but it being back in the office, even like this last week, I was only in one day. For one meeting for like 4 hours, but the week before I was in like 3 days and stuff like that. So it's growing and we're definitely trying to adjust to it and getting used to it, but it's been nice just to have, you know, some, you know, face-to-face conversations about work instead of just, you know, over Zoom and over the phone call.
Yeah, man, I bet it's a little bit easier going into the office, you know, and initially, of course, when you were on Facebook Marketplace, that was a challenge too.
Yeah.
Making sure that you had that stuff to, of course, work from home and stuff like that too. And I think I was reading something like that too. And, you know, one of the major things that was sold during the lockdown was office equipment, you know, just like chairs and tables and stuff that people were buying. So of course, that was a struggle for everybody. But what other challenges would you say you faced, of course, coming into the job, not really necessarily working from home, but just the different facets and different hats that you wear, you know? Maybe even what's your favorite aspect of that? What's your least favorite aspect of that?
Yeah, so for me, it was definitely, I would say, you know, getting, because I, you know, since I've wanted to do this job for so long, and, you know, I've been in some great internships and all that, and I've seen, you know, people that have already built their book and had such a strong kind of relationship with their clients. And I thought, you know, I was going to jump in and, you know, be able to sign, you know, 20 clients and doing all this. But, you know, it's an exhausting period. And this period I'm in now, just trying to prospect, trying to meet new people, trying to get people to trust me with their money. It's been tough and it's been challenging. And, you know, I've gone on multiple, you know, kind of meetings and hope for the best. And some of them haven't worked out. Some have. Some haven't worked out the way I want it to. But they still kind of worked out. So it's been, you know, here and there. But, you know, everybody says it's a journey, you know, it's this process, you know, the next 5 years, or everybody says for this industry, it's, you know, the hardest years of your life, because you're got to be constantly working, got to be constantly on your phone, checking the market, checking people. You know, you have to be, try to get involved in every organization you can. So it's definitely been, you know, tough, but you know, I think that I'm lucky enough that we have such a great team that they can, you know, keep me motivated and keep me and instruct me on how to deal with it. Cause they've all gone through it. They've all, you know, struggled through it. Cause I know in some, one of the reasons I did pick this job I had was because I knew how important having a team is. Cause in this industry, a lot of people, they go off by themselves and they try to do it. Like I had between here, AXA and Merrill Lynch. And I was, you know, deciding between these two, and Merrill Lynch is, you know, one of the best firms in the world. And they have probably some of the best training, but it was all by yourself. So you weren't on a team. You had nobody to really help you, nobody to really lean on. And so I chose the team aspect because I thought for me starting out, that's definitely more important. So yeah, it's been tough, but I think I'm lucky enough to have, you know, as we talked about before, the great mentors I have definitely keep me motivated.
Right. And, you know, because you mentioned stuff about mentors and people that, of course, you've had relationships with, be it your father or other people that have, of course, pushed you to be that great person in this field. What kind of advice have they given you, and what would be some advice that you would give people about investments in life, and what do you do with that? What do you do personally with the investments side of things?
So, I mean, my... for advice on my dad, I mean, he's been, you know, the best person. I'm lucky, so lucky to have him. I mean, he's, you know, been able to do so much and kind of mold me and kind of who I am today. So I'm lucky, you know, to have him as someone to lean on, someone to have in my back pocket whenever I need to call him. And he's very, you know, frugal with his money. He won't spend a dollar of it. You know, he still wears his clothes from, you know, his college days, which I used to steal just for, you know, our, you know, 80s parties back in college. So he used to get mad. I was like, where's my, you know, favorite shirt? I was like, oh, that's mine now. So, right. But yeah, he just says, you know, especially on the saving side, I don't really need much. You know, I'm a pretty simple guy. I like to spend my money on, you know, doing things, not really on possessions. And for like investing side on work, we're lucky enough to have, you know, one of the best, you know, planners, and he's the one of the best analysts. So I'm lucky enough that, you know, we kind of can guide it in the way we want to, but our analyst can, he kind of guides us on what we're trying to plan the clients on. And it's mostly like computer based too. So whenever we meet a new client, we have them, you know, we ask them what their needs are and make sure, you know, what they want to do, when they want to retire, how they want to plan for what they want to spend when they're retired. And we practically, and then we ask them like what their risk, you know, want is. So it's kind of all based on that. So each plan we have and each investment strategy we present, it's all individual to the person. So that's kind of how we go about it. And that's how, you know, I think that's a great way to go, because I think every person is different and every person needs their own investment strategy the way they need it. So it's been pretty unique to see that.
Yeah, man, you're talking about investment strategy, and that's, finance. It's ubiquitous. Everyone needs that. But, you know, we're also about investing in yourself, in your own mind, like psychologically speaking, obviously. So we talked about Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
Yeah.
You're influenced by him, man.
Yeah.
So what other guys do you follow, and what other guys, like, you know, the listeners can follow? What kind of mentality can they follow? Like, not just for the financial success, but the work-life balance. What do you think?
Two, you know, business leaders that, you know, I try to kind of replicate. None of them are technically on the finance side either, but I think they're just two great people that, you know, even though it's not necessarily their investment strategy they teach you about life, and they teach you about how to, you know, live and work in a workplace. And that's Bob Iger, the, you know, CEO of Disney.
Yeah.
And, you know, for him, I just read his book and I fell in love with the way he kind of balanced everybody, and he really understood just how important relationships was, and that's how he kind of was able to build his progression. He started out like a small part in the company and was able to slowly grind his way up, keep working, keep, you know, going about it. And I thought that was super unique, and I fell in love with his story. And, you know, and the other one is Warren Buffett. I think Warren Buffett, you know, everybody knows him. I mean, he's the investment specialist. He's been able to create such a great, you know, mindset. But I love how he's so humble about his work. You know, nobody could ever know he still lives in a small town, small house that he's lived in. He's never, you know, he just likes the work. He loves, and he'll talk always about how the relationships are always the most important part of his, you know, success. From his relationship with like Bill Gates and all these other, you know, super successful people. He's something that I think, you know, every advisor should somewhat take and somewhat inspire to. So I think, you know, both those people have been, you know, pretty influential in my life, and I've been pretty grateful for both of them.
Yes, sir. And you know, you mentioned Bob Iger, and I actually listened to a podcast other than my own, which is the Tim Ferriss Show. And I don't know if you've heard of that, but Tim Ferriss is, he actually interviewed Bob Iger too. And so his story was kind of on that as well. And that was a really, really great episode as well. So, you know, I hope that our podcast is on other people's list, but also you are on other people's list as a financial advisor in the future, you know. So this has of course been great. And, you know, we would love to keep our listeners, you know, stay connected to you. So if you could tell them where they can find you, that would be great.
Yeah. So my, LinkedIn, which I probably need to update recently. I haven't been able to update that for a while. It's Will Toll, or William Toll, I believe, just, or William Dash Toll, I believe.
And we'll, then, put, that yeah, and we'll put that in the description.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then my Instagram, I think it's just Will Toll. So if you want to keep update with some of my travel pics and stuff like that, yeah, it's been, that's it. So
definitely, man, definitely. And we would love to stay connected, of course. And I'm, you know, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be probably hopefully hitting the gym with you soon too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We'll have to make a trip sometime soon. We might have to come out to see you guys. So
yeah, man, I'm looking forward to, you know, hosting some of y'all in India.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. As soon as this COVID ends, we can get back to our travel bucket list, man. I do have so many places that I want to go to.
Yeah. Yeah,
looking forward to that, man.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. It'll be fun. It'll definitely be exciting to see what comes next.
Well, yeah, man. Again, thank you so much for being on the show, Will. And this has been great. We, of course, like I said, you know, we'll be looking forward to making sure that other people are connected to you and connected to our podcast as well. So,
yeah, man. Looking forward to it. I can't wait.
All right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, yeah. This is your host, Arjit Singh,
and I'm Hemant Chhabria.
And you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast. If you found value in this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, let us know how we can make this better.
A traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.